Once a very famous missionary wrote a letter to some Christian folks, and let's say you got the letter. And the letter read something like this with these words: I want you to know about the struggles I have been having for you. And you'd read that and you'd say, boy, I want to hear about what's going on in the missionary's life. They're having problems. And you and I have problems. Not a week goes by. As Jesus said, every day has enough trouble of its own. So you had enough trouble of your own, times seven, since last time we met. And you'd be surprised to know that missionaries have their struggles also. And if you look at the Bible, you'd come to know that there's no test or temptation that has hit a missionary's heart that has not hit your heart in some manner. And so how they handle that struggle and difficulty, you and I can learn from. And you can say, boy, I see how they turn to God in this situation of difficulty. And that might have been a repetitive thing. That's okay. God was still faithful. He provided a way out of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's a promise for you and for me. So we can learn from when the missionaries come through. That's Mary Cloutier and David Kindervater. We can learn from their hearts and simply from one another, too, about the struggles we have that are common to every Christian. Remember, nothing you've been through that somebody else hasn't been through in a similar manner, maybe not the same way, but the similar heart tug that you're going through. God understands. He'll provide a way of escape for you. And it does help when we hear about the experiences of others. One of my family members is going to have some teeth out, and I was at the dentist with them and asked the dentist, have you done these procedures before? That's not something you're supposed to ask the medical profession, you know, as if you're questioning their credentials. Well, he didn't throw the drill at me or anything, but he said, yeah, since 1984. And so I felt better. This man knew what he was doing. He's been through this struggle before. I should have asked him, have you had this procedure done to yourself? It gave me a little more confidence in his ability to help my loved one in there. But we could learn from the struggles of others and say, God, help me like you've helped them. And so as we do this in the life of a missionary or life of any Christian, we should know that often when there is a weakness in somebody's life, it is a great opportunity to see the strength of God come forth in a person's heart. As God's word says, His power is made perfect in weakness. So the weaknesses that you have and that the missionaries have, God would like to move in on those. Normally we want to sweep them under the rug in some way, but they'll still be there. God wants us to approach those and say, He can provide a way to help and to move forward in the midst of the trouble. So that's how we all got started in the Christian life. Our biggest problem or weakness was sin, remember. If any of us have never dealt with that, that's our biggest problem and weakness. We're sin. We are separated from God. And God says, I'm the only one who could help you with that. I can bring the forgiveness you need and help you repent if you turn and pray and ask Christ, be my Savior and be my Lord. And help me turn from, you know, these struggles that are overwhelming for me. Maybe a struggle with sin. And God will help. So call on the name of the Lord and He will hear and answer you if you've never become a Christian. You say, Jesus, be my Lord. That's my biggest struggle. Well, let's look at some of the struggles that missionaries have. Jim and Evan are going to help us out on the screen behind us over here with some of the things they said. This is a common struggle I have as a Christian. When I go over to Japan or West Africa or wherever I'm headed, that's what God helps me out in. I'll just look at it with you for a minute, and then we'll look at the three one at a time. When missionaries were asked, what's your biggest pressure on the mission field? You know, some were mentioned learning another language, financial needs. Those two really are an attempt to fit in with what's going on around us. We feel that today in our life and in our country. you know, am I going to be able to fit in and make it? Just in the calling God has called us in, the threat of loss of job and all of that. But most missionaries aren't standing around overseas and saying, boy, if I just had another $100, everything would be really good here in the mission field. I want you to know that's the key. That's not one of their top needs, nor is language study, although they go through 2 years of that. By the way, along with language study, the ones in the Alliance mission, they always spend 2 years working at a church here in the States before they go to Japan or before they go to Africa. 2 years working in a church in the States. The reason is, hey, can you love the people in America around you? Can you love them, serve them here? Because it doesn't do any good if you say, I don't really love the people in America too well. But I do love the people in Japan a real lot. You know, because if you don't love the people here, eventually you're not going to love the people in Japan or West Africa. That's not going to fly with the Lord. He wants to give you a chance to follow him right where you're at and then sends with the training he's given your heart. But the biggest pressure on the field, surprising, was relationships with others. Relationships with others. You might think, aha. I resemble that answer. We'll look at that a little more closely in just a little bit. Second question they were asked. Next, my biggest personal struggle, is it daily devotions, loneliness, or cultural adjustments? When you go overseas, isolation could be a problem. You know, your family's not there. You got to get to know people you don't know. And so just to try to connect takes time. Some of us have dealt with that. If you've moved a lot, you know what that's all about. Cultural adjustments. You learn how to hug the right way in different cultures and when to shake hands, when to not shake hands and things like that. But the biggest personal struggle for a missionary that they said was daily devotions. Can I be close to God consistently? In a time of prayer and Bible reading, and then throughout the day. And I normally would think, man, they ought to have that down like no problem. But they say this is something they want God to work on in their life. How about the next last one? My biggest encouragement for the mission work. What would really give the missionaries the wind at their back, the momentum that they need that will help them? Would it be more missionaries on the field? All of us would like that camaraderie and, more hands to push the wagon and things like that. But remember, the first response kind of eliminates that one when they said, well, my biggest headache is getting along with others. What I don't need is more people to try to get along with. So that's not it. More prayer support or more modern equipment. They do appreciate modern equipment. Some are in base needs of something very basic, a car. And they're aided by some of the technology we have in the United States and in Europe. But we would know if we were thinking ahead here, C would not be the answer, because the most modern equipment that Christians have is in Western Europe and the United States. We have great access to modern equipment. That has not been the key. It has not been the key for spiritual renewal and closeness to the Lord in the life of God's people. So missionaries sitting there and they're thinking, if I just had the latest of this, that's not going to be the key for their work. The answer that the missionaries gave was B. What really helps a missionary? More prayer support. And of course, Paul talked about that. He said, pray for me. That a door would be open for the good news and I could proclaim it clearly as I should. And so a missionary really wants that in their life. And thank you, Jim and Evan, to look at these together and to try to say, God, how did you help the missionary and what can you do to help us? All right, the biggest pressure they have, remember, is relationships with others. And I think you could probably feel that pressure in your home life, work life, church life, wherever it would be. biggest pressure, relationship with others. The missionaries have the Charlie Brown heart. Honestly, by answering that question, the Charlie Brown heart in the cartoon is, I have a great love for all humanity. It's just people that I have a hard time with. That's the Charlie Brown heart. That the missionary would honestly say, yeah, sometimes I'm like that. And you're probably like that sometimes as a follower of Christ. That's an honest confession for the Christian. And I think that's because relationships are so important to us as a gift. They're very fragile. They need worked on. That's why when Jesus gave the great commandments, one of them was love your neighbor as yourself. That means that was going to be a great blessing, but it was going to be very difficult without his help, without his intervention. So the missionary comes and the common everyday Christian comes and they scratch. Sometimes we scratch our heads. I don't understand. I want to love the Lord and I have all kind of problems and conflict in relationship with other people. Why am I not a perfect husband or dad or fellow worker? I must be terrible. No, you're not terrible. Nor is the missionary terrible. You and the Lord are a good parent and a good spouse and a good follower of the Lord if you'd ask for his help. But the missionaries, often they come to the realization, as a common everyday Christian does, that conflict is a normal part of healthy relationships. Okay, and that's going to involve time and effort and getting hearts together again that are not together. Conflict is a normal part of every healthy relationship. A dispute arose among the disciples as to which one was the greatest. That plays itself out on the mission field. It plays itself out in your home or your gathering with other believers. Some dispute in your heart. I think this is the great way to do it based on me. And God can straighten that out. The best and most important relationship we have in our lives is God with us. So we ask ourselves the question, is God in conflict with us on a regular basis? Does he have a beef with you every day about something? Does your sin grieve him? Okay, when we turn aside. God's word would tell us in a real healthy manner, God's Holy Spirit is in conflict with our sin nature. He would like to fight with us fairly about the direction of our lives. And he's not going to let us off the hook. You see, he's coming after us to confront us with that. God is in conflict, if you have a healthy relationship with him, with your old sin nature. And he wants you to yield to him so that your life can be blessed and helped in some manner. And when he does that, he offers us peace and the redirection of our soul if we would let him have his way with us and hear his voice. Let our souls be under the conviction of sin on a regular basis. That's good. It's just like a light goes on, realization on perhaps how to be a better worker on the job or relating to your family in a different manner. Boy, a light goes on, and all of a sudden you think, aha, God's way is different than what I thought. I can be different. And the conflict he produces in us produces health in the long run. So missionaries start to understand that. Common everyday Christians start to say, I'll meet Christ in the midst of the conflicts that are normal. Say, how does God want me to follow him in this? The Lord says, let's work together in the problem that you have. We could say that to others in the problems that we have with them. Missionaries have to get along with their fellow missionaries, and they have to get along with the folks in Japan and West Africa who are in charge of their own native lands. They don't want some, highfalutin Christian coming in and telling them what everything they're doing that is wrong. They want somebody who's a servant and can win them over to to who Christ is, who's the great servant. So let God use the conflict in your life as he does in the life of a missionary to reintroduce you to his grace and to the importance of people in your lives. As one old-time Christian said, when you're in a conflict, it's not so important that you are understood. More important is that you understand. Understand the other person. What's going on in their heart. And then you can understand even maybe what's going on in your heart. And you both are open to following Christ. You go into a conflict like a missionary does, saying, how can I best love the person as Jesus does? Because God's goal in conflict is reconciliation. It's not rejection or separation. So when a missionary says, boy, one of the biggest pressures I have on the field is other people or is relationships, that's a great open door for the strength of God in their life. Sometimes they become very loving over the long haul because they have to learn to love in multiple situations, just like you and I are called to do in the conflicts we find ourselves in. There's a revival teacher, Nancy DeMoss, who puts it this way. She says, in your relationships with others, keep the walls down. In your relationship with others, keep the walls down. If you put up walls, the maturity of your soul is going nowhere. And God's work in your life is going to be stifled. So in your relationship with others, keep the walls down. And God can bring good things. One particular church, I'd say one particular group of missionaries, made a covenant as a part of their membership that they would do this on a regular basis. This is what they said. They said this: we will expect to experience conflict in all our relationships. How'd you like to sign up for that? It's a part of the marriage vows, pretty much. We will expect to experience conflict in our relationships, and we will refuse to live in unresolved conflict. We'll just say, no, we're not going to leave it unresolved. We're going to work toward peace. However long it takes or how many adjustments it takes God to work in my heart. So that's the missionary heart, the struggle that they have. As you relate to that struggle, could you say, Lord, make that a strength in my life? So it's not a negative pressure. It becomes something, boy, God can bring us closer because of the conflict. The second struggle that was mentioned from the missionaries, my biggest personal struggle is daily devotions. Daily devotions. How many had, just to raise your hand in your heart, 7 days of good devotions this past week? Well, you said, boy, I heard God every morning or every night, whatever it was. You know, that's a blessing if God has provided that for you. I remember meeting Bob Underwood. Very gracious missionary from West Africa. He was in Africa for 40 years. He said the best years of his following the Lord over there were the last four. And he said because of the last four, he spent more time, not only alone but also with others, praying and looking into God's Word. That was his. That was the source of his fuel. And he said it was really a dramatic change. At the end of his. Serving time. What a blessing that was. And so God would want to meet us in a devotional time. Devotions, if you don't know what they are, it's a time where you set aside and say, I'll just spend time with God one-on-one, praying, giving God thanks and asking for help, and then opening up the Bible and saying, Lord, speak to me. And a lot of times we slough off on that. Someone said the greatest enemy of closeness with the Lord is working for the Lord. Where you rush out the door and you say, I got a lot to do today. And God said, yeah, you got a lot to do with me first. I remember one time in worship about 2 years ago, I was all excited about a particular sermon that I was going to preach. And after the singing happened, the special music like Yvonne and Marty did, I got up and started to walk to the pulpit. I wanted to get on with what I had to get on with, you know. And he said, sit down. We've got to hear the Bible first. And I felt like God was telling my soul not only then, but in many contexts. Just sit down and be quiet and listen to me. Sit down and be quiet and listen to me. See, God would tell that to your soul so that you might, the missionary would say, well, yeah, I need that. And a Christian would say, yeah, I need that. A time to pray, a time to hear from God. Charles Spurgeon, who was a good preacher, said about prayer, for example, he said, a prayerless Christian is a Christless Christian. Wow. You think about that. A prayerless Christian is a Christless Christian. That's not saying God's going to leave you if you don't talk to him. But that's saying, if I don't pray, I'm breaking the friendship. I mean, that's an obvious thing. So God invites to pray. Prayer is not added to the work. Prayer is the first work, the first opportunity. And we really need God's help for that. I think all of us would admit that. The veteran missionaries would admit that. I like a favorite story about devotions. One man was trying to be close to God and have a time to pray and read the Bible. So he just kept praying, oh, Lord, help me find you. Lord, help me find you. Lord, help me find you. He did this for about a month. There was nothing. He just didn't feel like God was hearing him. So somebody said, why don't you try to turn that prayer around a little bit? Why don't you just pray, Lord, come and find me. Lord, come and find me. I am lost. I don't even know how to get back home to closeness with you. And he tells the story because God answered the prayer. God answered the prayer. And God came and renewed his soul. That's a great prayer to pray for yourself or some loved one, child, a brother, sister, spouse. Lord, come and find them. There's a song that says, God would move heaven and earth to rescue one who has fallen. Isn't that? That would be one. You might be the one. He'll move heaven and earth to rescue one who has fallen. And maybe away from him in some manner. He's gone to the cross. He's risen. Certainly he'd come and help our soul. If we needed the renewal in that way. And what keeps the wind at the in the sails of the missionaries back there, wind to their back? They said, the biggest need I have for missions is not more missionaries, not more modern technology. They said, I need more prayer support. That's what they said. And someone said, the best thing we could tell a missionary is that I have been praying for you. It's probably the best thing we could tell any of our loved ones, son or daughter, or extended family relationships. Charles Spurgeon had this quote. When I read it, I almost wanted to start being a pastor all over again. He had this quote. He said, I'd rather have one man pray than 10 men preach. About the need for prayer to be a strong point for the support of God's work in anybody's life. I'd rather have one man pray than 10 men preach. That's incredible. That speaks of the importance of God. That's why. You could fill the blank in with anything else you think it's important. I'd rather have, you know, if you were Spurgeon, you'd say, I'd rather have one man pray than 10 more bucks in my pocket. Or I'd rather have one man pray than 10 new jobs. Or if you're in church life, I'd rather have one man pray than 10 new Sunday school teachers. The heart bent to God in prayer and praise. It's just what God created us for. And so Nancy DeMoss, when she said about getting renewed, she said, keep the walls down. Try to be open to others. Work toward that healthy relationship. And get the roof off. The roof off is, I will ask God to help me have a heart of prayer. Get the walls down and the roof off. And when missionaries said, yes, this is our weakness, it became became a strength in their heart. And as you say in your life, yes, this is where I'm weak. God would say, well, my power will be made perfect in that weakness. I will come and help and be the strength of your life. And as the missionaries share their struggles with us, might we back them in every way, learn from their successes and the times they fell down? Because obviously they learn from us every time they come and join us. Would you let God's strength meet the weakness in some area of your life? Some struggle you'd say, this is it before God. God could say, well, I want to make that a shining example of my grace and power in your life, what I can do through you. And he's gracious to do that. Could we make a prayer out of our last song? It's hymn number 212, Take Time to Be Holy. Real good song of renewal with the Lord. And no, you know, maybe it's just a prayer, Lord, come and get me. Find me in my estate of being spiritual struggle.